Lipinski here with episode 47 of the TV and Lust video game podcast, or TVandLust.net. Today we have Stephanie Lancaster.
Hi.
And Chris Dunn.
Hey. Where's Seth?
Well, I know. Where's, yeah. Who's that other guy? He chose not to be on this podcast. He said he was going to work on other things for this site, which means we might get a review or something out from him in, like, I don't know, maybe a month. It'll eventually happen. So I was just watching a Super Mario Brothers, not a speed run, but like the lowest scoring run you can do.
Wow!
Like he did it
once. Wait, the lowest scoring?
Yeah, he had 600 points.
Uh huh.
And that was just from hitting the flagpoles, because that's, you get 100 points. That's the lowest you can get. So he had 600, finished the game with 600 points and no deaths.
Huh.
Interesting.
I thought it was more impressive than, like, a speed run or something. Like especially, like, in, like, the later, like, I think it was, like, 8-2, maybe? Where, like, they're, like, a mess of Hammer Brothers.
Yeah.
And, like, watching him, like, go through that was just, like, man, he was in the zone. It was good. It was good. I very much enjoyed it. In fact, I will put the video on the website page for this episode of the podcast, so if you want to check that out. It's about 8 minutes long or so. But,
wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I greatly enjoyed it. It was really
cool. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't beat, like, Mario Brothers until I was, like, I mean, it came out when I was, like, 5. I don't think I beat it until I was, like, maybe 15.
Me neither.
Like, I was just bad at it.
I was terrible. At the game's really not that hard, and it's really not that long, but, man, I was not very good at it as a child.
Right.
Yeah.
Jeez.
I was pretty bad at it, too. So, to reiterate, our 50th episode will be live on Justin TV. It'll be justin.tv/TVandLust, so go bookmark it or follow it or whatever the fuck JTV calls it. And that'll be in a few weeks. Next episode, I'll have more details on that, including a date and a time. We still haven't worked that out behind the scenes yet. It's coming up. Like when we decided on doing it, like, seems so far out. 50th episode, yeah, that's still a little ways down the line, but now it's coming up, so...
Yeah.
What are we at now?
This is 47.
Oh, geez.
I'm pretty sure that's what I announced it as, so that's what I'm hoping it is.
I believe you. I don't keep track.
Right. Now, I have to go back and, like, look at what the previous episode on the page was. That's how I know. So, yeah, justin.tv/TVandLust. It'll be live. And speaking of, on Wednesday, the 13th, hopefully people are listening to this podcast before then. I know some people listen to it a little bit later, but on Wednesday the 13th, I'll be live streaming some gameplay with a friend of mine. We usually just pile on some multiplayer games and live stream, and we do it for hours, and it's a lot of fun. So that'll also be on justin.tv/TVandLust, Wednesday, July 13th, 6 p.m. Eastern, and Google will help you out for whatever time zone it is for you. So,
oh, that's cool. That's a good time.
I hope.
At least for me it is.
Yeah, yeah. In the United States, it's pretty good. It's a little early in, like, Australia and New Zealand, and in parts of Europe, it may be really inconvenient. It's a really odd time of night. But I hope as many people can come by. It's a lot of fun. I mean, the more the merrier, you know? It's like a little party where people can chat, watch me be terrible at games. it's all good. So we usually have a good time. So definitely come on down and check that out, even for an hour or two if you can. So my week was uneventful. I've been watching a lot of Star Trek The Next Generation on Netflix. I don't know why I really had this itch to, like, watch it. Like, I don't even know why. Like, I've never really been a Trekkie or anything like that. I watched the original series. I really didn't care for it. And I was thinking about either buying, like, the first season or maybe just getting the discs in through Netflix. And as I was pondering this, like, Netflix is like, oh, here you go. Just dumped, like, every series, every
run
of, like, Star Trek on the Instant Watch. I'm like, oh, hey, thanks. Now I remember why I pay for Netflix. I think Netflix is incredible. So
it really is.
I've been watching a lot of that, and it's a little, like, campy and stuff, but I'm really enjoying it. I like it.
So, which, you said you're watching, is it The Next Generation? Aren't there, like, different?
Yeah, there's the original series, Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, Enterprise. I think that's all of them.
Okay.
I could be wrong in that. And then there's a whole mess of fucking movies.
Yeah.
Right.
I think some of which are on Instant Watch, so... A lot of Star Trek going on Netflix. I love Netflix.
Yeah. I know.
And the Instant Watch just gets better and better. Like, I was doing three discs for a while because when I first subscribed to Netflix, I don't think Instant Watch existed.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was doing three discs at a time. And that's gone up. That's about $20. $20 that and like instant streaming are $20 a month now. But I'm like, I don't even watch the discs anymore.
I know, neither. Yeah. You know, I still have a copy of The Expendables. I don't even know when I got that. I haven't opened it up or anything. I don't watch any of the stuff. I mean, I just look at it all streaming, you know, through streaming.
Right, because streaming doesn't necessarily always have what you want, but it still has a ton of interesting content just the same.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. That's interesting.
So it's improved a lot.
It really has. It really has. And you know what? I mean, here's the thing. Like, streaming alone here in the U.S. is $8 a month. Incredible value, I think.
It is.
If, let's say they bumped it up by 50% and it's $12 a month, but they were able to garner way more licenses, I would probably drop my cable.
Yeah. I mean, I dropped Stars. I used to have Stars, and I dropped it because of that channel that Netflix has now. You know?
It's all on there. Yeah.
I saved some money.
Yep. Yeah. But I dropped my plan to one disc. I still want the option of getting a disc just in case.
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like really not necessary.
It's not.
Streaming's incredible. I love it.
Sweet.
How about you guys? What have you guys been up to?
Nothing. This is like,
good for
I mean,
you.
I love the summer. It's awesome, but it's definitely like a more chill time, which is great. But it, you know, work is boring and really can't complain because I'm not with my usual, you know, students that I have. So I can't complain about these cool kids. But
your usual students are not cool.
Well, no, like, you know, during the school year, it's a different environment because, like, I'm working in the actual school, so it's more or less trying to be professional, so we can't really, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't really have fun with them that much. I'm trying to help, like, first graders and kindergartners learn how to read because they're below grade level, you know what I'm saying? So it's, like, constantly read, 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 read. Now write. Okay, you know what I'm saying? And every Monday I'll be like, oh, so what did you do this weekend? And that's it. You know what I'm saying? So during the summer, I get a different group of kids. It's like basically,
know how to read. Is that what you said? Like the dumb kids?
Yeah. I mean, we don't do anything. This is through a different, you know, this is my second job, my part-time job. So it's basically like a summer camp. You know what I'm saying? It's just like fun all the time. Like no structure. You know what I'm saying?
You just don't want to deal with the dumb kids.
Yeah. Well, no, I love the dumb kids. I love them.
We don't think
you love the dumb kids. I love it.
They're awesome. I love them. That's why I work with them. I love them.
Okay. Well, you're right. I mean, obviously you work with them. So yeah.
So, yeah, it's really calm. The past week, really nothing. Like over the weekend, like earlier on Friday and then yesterday, I was trying to figure out what I'm going to exactly do when I go to Orlando. 'Cause we're leaving in 2 weeks. So I was, like, on the computer trying to find out, like, attractions for Orlando, like, the places that you should go. And besides Universal Studios...
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's some giant, like, parks or something down there.
I can't seem to find anything. I mean, I saw Fun Spot. I think, were you talking about Fun Spot, Craig?
Yeah, but Fun Spot's in New Hampshire.
Okay, there's a Fun Spot down there, too.
That's a cheap imitation.
Okay, because it had, like, go-kart racing stuff, and
it's such a generic name, so, I mean, it's not...
Right. It's probably not the same, but, it looked cool. My son saw it. He was like, oh, I want to do that. So I'm like, okay. So I have, like, 3 of the days down, going to the beach, Fun Spot, and Universal Studios, and I don't know what to do for the rest of the week. So, yeah, I've been trying to find out how I can fill my days on vacation. I don't know.
So wait, how many days are you devoting to Universal Studios?
One. Well, we're going to try to do one because it's so damn expensive to go. Yeah,
you can't buy like a multi-day pass or something?
You can. They have 2-day passes. I think they're like $180.
A piece?
Yeah, a piece.
Fuck.
And check this out. Check this out, okay? Kids, because you would think it's Universal Studios, right?
Yeah.
The kid, like the age ranges for the kid, I think the kids are 3 to 9. 9 years old. I mean, aren't kids, like, kids until they're, like, 12? You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Like, they keep lowering that bracket. Like, you know, I always think, I mean, I know what you're talking about. Like, there will be businesses that will offer some sort of discount or something for, like, kids under 12 and under. But, like, they keep lowering. Like, now it's going to be, like, in utero to infant
What? I'm like, what is going on here? It's crazy. So, I mean, we're paying, you know, I'm hoping that we can do, I guess, Universal Studios and then the Island of Adventure. I'm hoping we can do that in one day. I don't think we can, but we're going to try to. But I really don't feel like paying, like, I think
almost $600.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. So, we'll see. I don't know.
It's like, I mean,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, it's clear that, like, a place like that you can't do in one day.
Right.
So I don't understand, like, why, like, multi-day passes aren't a little more affordable to encourage. Like, and then you're in there, and then you're going to spend more money. You're going to buy food. You're going to buy souvenirs. Like, it just seems like, if I'm in there for one day, like, I'm going to be, like, at all the attractions. I'm not going to be piddling my time away at your little shops. It doesn't make any sense.
But, and I heard that, like, my cousin was there last year, and she went to the Wizarding World of Harry Potter or whatever, and she was like, you got to get there at 8 o'clock, like, an hour before it opens, because it's crazy. Like, you're going to be spending most of your time in line. And I'm like, no.
I love these big parks, but man, they're rough. Like, I've only been to, like Disneyland once. Mm-hmm. But I waited, like, 3 hours to go on Splash Mountain. And it was a lot of fun. But,
right. Like, 3 hours. But was it worth the 3 hours?
I mean,
most things aren't.
No, yeah.
I know.
Considering I've only been once, and I'm probably not going to go again anytime soon. Yeah, I'll say it was worth it, but.
Okay, there you go.
It's just so, I mean, that was the longest wait in line for anything, was 3 hours for
something. I mean, were you a kid or were you an adult?
No, I was an adult. This is, I don't know, maybe like 5 years ago or so.
Okay. All right. See, and that's what I'm expecting, to be standing in line for most of the time. So I guess, I mean, and my son, he really wants to go to both parks, but I guess his top priority is like going to that Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And, I mean, Island of Adventure, because that's where that is. So as long as he can see that, and then they have like a Marvel section, and I think Toy Story is over there too. Like, he'll be okay with just going to Island of Adventure. Like, the other stuff I think is like Back to the Future. At the regular Universal Studios, it's like Jaws, Back to the Future, Jurassic Park, stuff like that. And he's never really seen any of those movies. So, yeah. We'll be all right. Hopefully, one day at Island of Adventure.
Good luck.
Hey, one is better than none, right?
I know. But I mean, I wish we could do both, but it's just too much money, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I hear that.
Gosh.
Me and my fiance go to Disney like every year, and as you like add days, it does get cheaper. I'm surprised that's not the case for Universal too, but
yeah, that's crazy.
That
really?
Sucks.
It's cheaper the more days that you
have. Yeah, I mean, I think for, like, you know, a one-day pass is, like, $70 or something. But as you get, like, if you get, like, 5 days versus 6 days, it's, like, a $5 difference. And I think that's, you know, to encourage you to go for more days.
Right. But my thing is, okay, like, you know, the last time I went down to Florida, we didn't go to Universal Studios because we went to Disney World or Disneyland, whatever, because my son was younger. Like, he was, like, 4 years old. So, you know, obviously, he couldn't get on any of those rides. And when I went, when I was younger, Universal Studios wasn't even around. But I'm imagining that, you know, it can't be that big of a place. Like, there can't be that many rides, right? Do you guys know? Have you been to Universal Studios?
I have not.
I went to Islands of Adventure a few years ago, and I don't remember it too much. But, I mean, I think the biggest problem would be the lines. I mean, I think Harry Potter still has huge lines.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's the one specific thing he wants to see, I would think, you know, you could do that in a day, definitely.
Yeah.
I really want to see that. I'm kind of jealous of you.
I know, right? And then the movie. Are you guys excited about the movie? Yay!
I think we still have about 3 hours worth of camping scenes left to go, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Chris, if I may say, like, you sound really crisp today. Did you get a new microphone?
What's that?
I said you sound really crisp and clear today. Did you get a new microphone or something?
I am using my Rock Band microphone.
Oh, nice. Really?
Yeah.
And this is the first time that you've used it, or?
Yeah.
It sounds really good. Bravo to Harmonix. This is sounds really good.
Yeah, I was listening to some other podcast, and they were having a call-in thing. And they said, you know, you can just try using your Rock Band microphone. That works really well. And I figured I'd give it a shot, and here we are.
Do you have to, like, hold it up to your mouth?
I'm holding it in my hand. I mean, I'm not holding it right up to my face. But usually I just use the built-in microphone, and, you know, I figured this couldn't be any worse. So
right.
It sounds really good. You're turning me on.
Oh God.
So how's your week been? How's it been for you, Chris?
It's been pretty good. It was a short week at work because, you know, 4th of July, but a couple people were out this week because, you know, people want to use their vacations when they can use less days. So it was a little busier for me having to fill in for people and stuff. But that's nice. You know, I like having things to do at work so that I'm not sitting there bored or anything. Makes the day go by better.
It does.
But exciting news for me, yesterday I finally bought a Dreamcast, you know, 10 years late to the party.
Awesome.
Yeah, I've wanted one for a long time, and, you know, I just, you know, I never want to go and spend the money online or whatever. And we happened to be out, and I walked into this place called Mega Media Exchange, I think. I figured it was just like a GameStop, you know, but they sell, like, movies and CDs and stuff, too. Mm-hmm. But apparently they sell old games and stuff. They sell old, like, Nintendo games and Sega games and whatnot. And they had a boxed Dreamcast for $20.
What? No way.
Yeah. And I was like, I totally got to get that because that is I don't know how much they usually go for, but I can't imagine I'd find one for any less than that. So
wow, no way, no way. That's
I
really
grabbed
good.
That, yeah, and I grabbed that and a couple Game Boy games, which you know we'll talk about a little later. But that was really exciting for me because I wanted the Dreamcast back when they first came out.
You now have the best console of all time.
That's what I've heard. Now I just need to get some games for it.
Yeah, there you go. And stock up on those CR2032s.
Right?
If you want to raise your chows or whatever. Wow, good. Yeah, wow, that's pretty good. I guess news then. That's all we got to talk about. Let's see. We got a Pokemon game coming to iOS and Android, which is really interesting. I'm not too sure about how the Pokemon company operates, but it's sort of a separate entity from Nintendo. So that's how like Game Freak was able to make this game for iOS and Android, which I think is just really weird. These business dealings are just over my head sometimes, but it doesn't sound too amazing. It's like a rhythm like card game, if I'm not mistaken. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's weird. A rhythm card game.
It's a card-based rhythm game. That's what, yeah. Okay. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's a little weird. But I thought that was just really interesting how
it is.
Business deal like that came about.
Yeah. And it's free. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Which is I don't know. I guess anything to create like mind share. You know, keep people's like. I mean, Pokemon games sell like millions of copies every time, so I don't think anyone is forgotten about Pokemon. about Pokemon anytime soon. No, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Sony is implementing a PSN pass with Resistance 3, and this is a lot like what EA and THQ and a few other companies have done, where if you buy the game brand new, you get a code inside, and that activates all or some of the multiplayer component. If you don't have that code because you bought it used or whatever, you have to pay for that component. And we've talked about this before. I personally don't really have a problem with this. Everyone's like, oh man, they're ruining used game sales. And yeah, I mean that's kind of it, but I don't know. I read a lot of comments on other sites and people are like, oh, these corporations are just getting greedy, and maybe. You know, I mean, a corporation's sole purpose is to make money.
You know?
Like, that's all they're supposed to do, is to increase value for their shareholders. So, I mean, it's as annoying as it is, it's hard to fault them. That's what they're supposed to. And honestly, if they didn't think this would make money, if they didn't think people would buy it, they wouldn't do it. The thing is, people are going to pay for it. That's just it. So, and honestly, I think, I've touched on this before, but I think, you know, we've gotten a little greedy with how big we want games to be.
Right.
And it's fine wanting bigger and better games. My tastes don't necessarily in that way, but other people's do. But they get expensive. Games just... It's hard to nail them in at that $60 price point. U.S.
Yeah.
US, you know, and the publishers are looking for other ways to make money, you know, so... it's hard to...
I wonder how they feel about the fact that, you know, lately... Let's say Resistance, for instance. Resistance 3 is going to come out in September or whenever it's released. And then, like, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks later, it's going to come out for $60, you know, when it's first released. 2 weeks later, it's going to be, like, $40. You know what I'm saying? I wonder how they feel about that. Like,
Right.
That's got to be hurting them, you know.
That's got, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know where the benefit is in dropping Game Pass. Obviously, the benefit for us is great.
Right,
and I'm starting to reconsider how quickly I buy games now,
yeah.
For instance. Simply because you wait a couple weeks and odds are it'll be on sale. If it's not, then so what? Then you pay the $6. You're just not the first kid on the block to have the game. And right. I think I'm going to start leaning towards that. But I don't know where the value is in that for anyone else. I mean, like, I guess for, like, places like Amazon or Best Buy, it's to get you to shop there, maybe buy something else, mm-hmm. like a loss leader.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't buy anything else. I just want the cheap game.
Right. I know. Yeah.
I do the
and
same.
I will drive, like, wherever. If I have to go to Kmart to get the game, and Kmart's, like, you know what I'm saying, 30 minutes from here, I'm going to go to Kmart. Because it's worth it, you know?
Yep. And then the used game costs more. You know, you're going to get it, like, it's like $55 at, like, GameStop.
Yeah.
The only thing I can say is, though, it really depends on the price of the PSN Pass, because Sony has actually done this before. They've done it before on the PSP with Mod Nation Racers and the SOCOM Fireteam Bravo 3. Mm-hmm. And with Mod Nation Racers, it was $15. And Fireteam Bravo 3, it was $20 to access the multiple. And $20 to me is outrageous.
Yeah,
I didn't realize any of these passes were that much. That sounds crazy to me.
Usually it seems to be 10, maybe 15. 15 on the outside. And I think they're pushing that wall. I think they released this stuff at, like, they started doing it at, like, 10. And I don't know, because I don't really buy too many games that implement this, because it seems to be on very popular games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, you know, I don't really buy too many of these games. So I really don't know. But I think it started at $10, and I think publishers started pushing the $15 mark. That to me seems like a lot. The $10, I go, I can live with that. I mean, I understand why they're doing it. It's not that much. Yeah. I understand it. But, like, $20, like, Fireteam Bravo 3 costs, like, $20 used. Like, you're paying the whole price of the game again to access that multiplayer component. That, to me, is just... That's way too much money.
Yeah, that's pushing it.
That is.
And it's going to suck, especially when these games get older, you know, and you can only find them used for, you know, $15 or $20 or whatever, and then you have to pay another $20 to play it?
Yeah. It'll make me think twice.
Yeah, I just won't be playing it.
It needs to be clearly marked. I bought a copy of Phantasy Star Portable 2 used. Uh-huh. Now, this was Sega, obviously. It's not Sony. And I bought a copy of that. And that actually has a code inside to access the multiplayer component, too. And I didn't know it. Now, the previous owner did not activate it. I got lucky with that. I actually was able to activate it, and it worked.
Oh, wow.
So I got very lucky with that. But nowhere on the outside of the box that I could find did it say that I would have needed to pay for it. Because then I would have reconsidered.
Mm-hmm.
But I got lucky. But nah, it definitely needs to be clearly marked that, like, hey, Goober, you're buying this used, you got to pay a little bit more.
Yeah.
What do you guys think? Man. I mean, do you guys think of this as, like, a really bad thing? Or, I mean, obviously it's not a good thing. I don't think anyone thinks of this as a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, I don't think it's a good thing. I mean, obviously. But I can kind of see why this is happening. You know what I'm saying? I don't know, maybe it will make me, not necessarily me, but maybe it'll make consumers feel a little bit better. When, I don't know, you go to GameStop and the used game price is a little bit lower, you know what I'm saying? It kind of makes up for that, or they kind of somehow compensate that. Like, maybe you're forewarned when you buy the used game that, hey, you're not going to be able to go online, because I don't think... You know what I'm saying? The average Joe's going to walk in and get Resistance 3. I mean, they want to play, you know, they're going to want to play multiplayer, and they get home and they're like, wow. You know what I'm saying? So maybe if GameStop or wherever you buy the game used, if they kind of compensate the price a little bit, I don't know.
I don't know if they will, because there's nothing in GameStop's interest to do that.
Right. But, I mean, it sucks because, you know, the game is going to come out for $60. Someone's going to trade it in. And, you know, a couple weeks later, it's going to be $55 used, or however that works. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
And then you're going to pay at least $10 on top.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
So you're paying $65 for a used game. You're right. And that's the part that sucks.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it needs to be clearly marked on the package.
Yeah.
People have to... Yeah. That's the reason.
I think some of them have been marked lower at GameStop used because of that.
Oh, okay.
Because I think, you know, obviously they give less money for them because it doesn't have the online functionality, so less people are going to buy it without having to pay that extra. But I think I remember seeing, like, Dead Space 2, which I think had one of those. And I think it was, like, $45 instead of $55. And I mean, for somebody like me, that's almost a benefit because I wouldn't want to play the online anyway.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, being able to get it for a little less money would be nice. But I mean, overall, I can see why they're doing this, but I don't know if it's the best idea.
Yeah.
You know, I'm right there with you guys.
I think this is just one of those things, like many things in gaming, where it's perfectly natural to be annoyed, but I think understanding the situation, like, really helps mitigate. Like, some people get, like, really, like, really angry about these things, and it's like,
well, I know.
I think if you understand the situation, you're not going to like it anymore, but I think it might help you be a little less angry.
See, I really don't feel like I could get really angry about it, because, like, of
course...
It's just
games, like, what...
Yeah, like, I know. Like, I love saving money. Don't get me wrong. When I can, I like to save money, but it's like... I'm not going to get in this big old uproar over, you know what I'm saying, these video games like that. It's just not that serious.
Honestly.
Like, it's a hobby. It's something I enjoy doing, and, you know, it's in my spare time, but it's not like, oh my gosh, look what, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's silly.
Well, it's sort of like when someone walks into a store and goes, God, the prices here are so expensive. Well, get the fuck out and go somewhere else. Like, no one's making you shop here, and no one's making you play this game.
Yeah.
So,
I hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sucks. I just think that, honestly, I truly believe it's either this or they raise the base
price
of games.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
So it's either some of us take a hit or we all take a hit. Like, that's...
And I'd rather some of us.
Yeah. So. And I mean, and you say some of us, but it's really, like, you still have a choice. Like, you could still buy it new, you could wait for a price drop... You don't have to buy the multiplayer component. So it's like, when I say some of us, it's really some of us with an asterisk, because it's not, it doesn't even have to be anybody. It really depends on the situation. But
Right.
Yeah. Especially with the way game prices have been dropping so quickly.
I know. I still don't understand it. Like, everyone's in fierce competition for gaming dollars.
I know. I mean, there's a bunch of games that I picked up this year that have dropped quickly. You know, Dead Space 2, I think, like 2 weeks after, was $40. I think a month after launch, L.A. Noire was like $40.
Yeah.
I think Duke Nukem is this week, even with Best Buy's buy two, get one free sale.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy.
So I'm definitely reconsidering. Like, there will be games I buy at launch because I want to really play them, but I'm really reconsidering my buying habits.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I am too. That's why I haven't picked up Infamous 2 and Shadows of the Damned yet. I've been hoping for a price drop.
Was it you?
Of course, those are the two that I haven't seen one yet.
Yeah. Well, wasn't it you that pointed out to me that Infamous 2's like Hero Edition is like regular, like the price of the regular game at GameStop?
Yeah, GameStop. It's GameStop at $60 now.
Which is like, and I'm really tempted, but it's like, oh, I must save for Japan.
Yeah.
So
I was gonna pick one up, and then I ended up getting the Dreamcast and a couple other Game Boy games and stuff.
You
so
did
I
the
said,
right thing.
Yeah, I figure I'll just wait for a price drop for the, you know, the regular edition. Or maybe if, you know, when I get my next paycheck, if they still have them, I might get one, but...
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't a huge fan of Infamous 1. It was good, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, I can wait to get the second one.
And you can definitely feel out what games... I mean, sometimes it's a little bit harder because some games just don't drop, but you can definitely feel out what games will drop in price. Usually it's a lot of, like, the bigger name games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be 40 pretty quickly somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's these buy two get one free sales. Like it's really good. I mean, like, and I'm not getting in on this stuff. I'm just buying everything day one, reserving. Doesn't matter to me. But like, now I'm thinking like, I really should be taking advantage of this stuff, saving some money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just means you don't get the game day one. So.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I'm starting to become okay with that too. I'm trying. It's hard.
It is hard.
Savings is enough. It's worth it.
Day one buying, it's a sickness, it's an addiction.
I know, gosh.
And finally for news, Burnout Crash was announced for Xbox Live Arcade. And
Crash!
Chris, you want to talk a little bit about this?
Yeah, it's a new downloadable title based off the previous game, Crash Mode. You know, you got to get into, you know, make accidents happen and stuff. But it's actually like a top-down perspective, which is kind of interesting. So it'll have three different game modes, a bunch of different locations, and it will actually have Kinect support for multiplayer, which I guess is interesting.
Which is really weird.
That is.
Yeah.
I wonder what it is. No mention, no talk of that?
I think it's for steering the cars, I believe, is what I read.
Yeah. Wow. I think some folks have had some hands-on with it at an event, and I think there was some mixed reaction about that.
Yeah. See, my thing is, like, I love Burnout. It's my favorite, like, racing series. Love the whole, every single Burnout that I've played. Like, I love Burnout. But, and I love Crash Mode. But I don't like this isometric, like, perspective. Like, this top-down, overhead view. Like, everything looks so small to me. I don't know if it's just me, my old eyes and everything. But, like, I don't know. I think it was Burnout 3. I think it was Burnout 3, or it might have been Takedown. The Crash Mode was just so awesome. Like, I spent so many hours playing Crash Mode alone. And this just looks, ew, you know? It doesn't look that good.
I think it might be an okay game. I'm undecided. I really don't know what to make of it yet.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think it's going to, it might let down, like, traditional Burnout fans who are looking, because, I mean, what was the last Burnout? Like, Paradise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
2009, 8, 9, one of those.
Yeah,
or it might have been 7.
It was a long time ago.
I think it's. I'm thinking it's at least 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah,
really?
I think I played the demo when I first got my 360, and I think that was like 2007.
No way! Stop.
And it's. Listen to her.
I can't believe it's been that long.
Yeah, I'm gonna look this up because I'm curious. Yeah, it's been a while, and I think that's part of the problem. Like, okay, so 2008.
2008, okay. January 2008.
Yeah, okay. So we're coming up here on, you know, just about 4 years, about 3.5, coming up on 4 years with this. Uh-huh. So, I mean, so people are waiting for, like, a new Burnout game, and then they get this top-down downloadable game, and that can be a little frustrating, I think, for people, mm-hmm. like, because, I mean, Burnout's a very specific kind of game. Like, there aren't too many games quite, like, especially, like, the Crash Mode.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're really looking forward to a new Burnout, and you get this, you know, looks like Carpet City or whatever.
Yeah, gosh, what is this?
It can be frustrating, but it might be a pretty cool game in its own right.
It might be, yeah.
I could see this being a cool spinoff, but I mean, I didn't realize it had been that long since the last one.
I think that's the part that stings for some
people. Yeah, I could see that being frustrating.
And I don't think Paradise had a crash mode. Yeah, it didn't have crash mode. It had, like, you could go on the street, like, you could drive on the streets and then try to overtake, like, times. Like, you could set records for, like, driving down the street or something like that. It didn't have crash mode, which was a little disappointing for me because I spent so much time in, you know, with Burnout it was Takedown in crash mode. And I don't think Paradise had crash mode.
I don't remember. I don't think so either. Cause that, yeah. I have it. I played it. It's been obviously a couple years.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think, like, it was open world. I remember, mm-hmm. like, you rev your gas at, like, a stoplight or something? Like,
yeah, to start a race or an event or whatever.
Yep, and I'm not sure if there was a crash mode.
Yeah, I don't think there was. I don't remember one. Because I would have been all over that. But I don't think there was, which, yeah, it's sad. I hopefully, you know, they do something with Burnout. I want to see a new Burnout, you know?
Would be nice.
Yeah, sure would.
But that is all we have for news.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to move into this week's topic, which is games we're looking forward to in quarter 3, 2011. And there is, I said in our article on the site, that I think this might be my favorite quarter of all time.
Nice.
Just
so many great games. Wow. Are there really that many? I think it's just the quality.
Well, I think July and August.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they only have a few games that I'm interested in, maybe 3 or 4 each month. September, there's a buttload.
September is really harsh.
Right. And I'm going to have to skip out on a lot of them because, like I said, I'm still saving my pennies
for
Tokyo. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, those games will be here when I get back. So I'm not really, This will be my test of not buying games day one. This will be my first real test.
Good luck to you.
Thank you. Because especially, like, I'm all about Gears of War. Like, Gears of War comes out in September. And I want to get that Epic Edition, but I'm like, nah, fuck that. Because that, like, those Halo Special Editions, which were very similar, Halo 3 and Halo Reach have very similar Special Editions, and those things were, like, $50 6 months later.
I told you that's my still plan. Find them.
So, yep. Right.
That
you can
my plan
find
for Gears of War. I am buying the regular edition, and then down the line, when it hits, like, $50-$60, I'm going to pick up that, you know, big old Epic Edition. That's my plan. Because there's going to be a lot of them. You know?
Yep. If history's any indicator, there definitely will be. So I don't even know if I'm going to buy it at all. I think I'm just going to wait.
You're going to wait.
Which is
going to
be hard because I really like the Gears series and I'm really excited for it. So we'll see what happens. because there's just so many great games out in September. But we'll get there. We'll start with this month with July, and I think it started off pretty good with Resident Evil: The Mercenaries 3D. You know, I've been playing that, and we'll talk about a little bit about that later. But despite all the negative press about it, perhaps some of it warranted, I really enjoy the game. I really like it. It really hits a sweet spot for me. And you've been playing that too, Steph. You've been enjoying it?
Yeah, I haven't been enjoying it as much as my son. Like, he's still, like, totally taken over that game. Like, he loves it. So I think I'm going to go out and buy him a 3DS and get him his own copy.
You're the best mom ever.
Yeah, because, like, you know, it's hard. I don't know if I mentioned this to you guys, but a couple months ago, like, he used to have a DSi. He got a DSi for Christmas. I think it was like 2 years ago, maybe, whenever it came out. And he decided he didn't like the DS anymore because it was too kiddie. And it like broke my heart. Like, oh my gosh. So then we got him a PSP, and that was last Christmas. And he really likes that. He digs it. You know, he plays a lot of games on the PSP. And now he's coming around to, you know, the 3DS. And I'm like, oh, cool. You know, that's awesome. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go and buy him a 3DS in Resident Evil. I don't know when, but maybe after. Like, maybe he'll get it for Christmas. I don't know. But he needs to get his own copy of this game. I mean, but it's fun. It really is fun. It's a nice way to waste time.
It is.
You know?
It is.
So,
and then we also have Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon. I think you and I both got that as well, Steph.
Yep, yeah. Another fun game.
Very, very mindless.
Yeah.
And I think the reviews lately have been reflecting that. A lot of people are like, how do people like this game, like this series? But I do.
What are the reviews looking like? I haven't even seen any.
Well, the biggest one that I read was Joysticks, and that was really disappointing because he was, I think it was Justin McElroy who wrote that. He was very smug. And I really hate when reviewers tell you what's good for you.
Right.
Like, it's okay to, like, I like when reviewers speak with a strong voice, because ideally a critic should know what the hell they're talking about, and they shouldn't write like they don't. It's okay to write with a strong voice, and I think readers need to shut the fuck up. I hate when readers get pissed off about, you know, critics speaking authoritatively. They should be authoritative about the subject they're critiquing. So, you know, get off their nuts about that. But
right.
I hate when they're smug bastards about it. Like, what did he say? Like, you deserve better than this game. Like, no, fuck you. Actually, this is exactly the game I want. And you know, people were displeased in the comments with that. And he said on Twitter, like, maybe if the people who like Earth Defense Force didn't play such dumb games, they could argue with me better or something like
oh
that.
Oh my gosh. Oh, wow.
And I can understand being, you know, it is easy to get irked by the masses. They sometimes, you know, they rub me the wrong way. It when you're sort of a quote unquote, you know, public figure, people are going to come at you, and they're not going to filter what they say at all.
Right,
so I can understand being irked, but that's kind of a dick thing to say.
Yeah,
you know,
it
but
is.
He wrote a review where he was trying to tell other people what's good for them. That's, look, you're critiquing the work, not the audience, man.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so. And Ben Kucher from Ars Technica, he just basically said he didn't get it. You know, he found the action unsatisfying, and that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I could see that. You know?
But I'm digging it. We got some good downloadable games here in July. We also got Miss Explosion Man and Bastion. I'm really looking forward to Bastion.
Looking forward to both.
That's
going to be awesome. They both look great.
They do. They definitely do. And then on the same day we got Catherine from Atlas and El Shaddai, Ascension of the Metatron from Ignition, and Pac-Man and Galaga Dimensions from Namco Bandai on the 3DS. And I am stoked for Catherine. I am getting the Love Is Over special edition. I'm pumped.
Me too. Yay.
And El Shaddai is really cool. I love the style. The combat is really tough. It's really challenging.
It is. Oh, my gosh. I got so frustrated with that demo. But it's so cool, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm definitely excited for those. Is there anything in particular you guys are looking forward to this month? Like the one game this month?
One.
I know we're looking forward
probably
to...
Probably Catherine. I mean, I will be picking up Catherine and El Shaddai and Pac-Man.
Right.
But Catherine is probably the one I'm most interested in because I haven't watched any gameplay footage or anything from this game. And so far, all I know is that it's some type of quirky puzzle game, and I don't even know if that's
I mean, it's like a puzzle platformer kind of
thing. Right. So I'm just interested in seeing where it's going to go.
Me too. I really love the Persona team. I like their games. I think I'm going to go with Catherine as well. And one thing I'm really stoked for is the music, because Shoji Meguro does some really fantastic tunes. And I've listened to some of the tracks. I don't want to listen to too many because I want to spoil it, but I did listen to some on YouTube. And I'm like, fuck, this can he do no wrong?
Really?
They're really good.
That's awesome. So. Yeah, I'm excited. And I'm excited for that special edition.
Right, yeah.
Finally, something totally different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comes in a... I don't know about the contents. Like, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Right, but the pizza box alone is
right. Right. The fact it comes in a pizza box. And the pre-order bonus is probably the best part. Like, that's the thing. Like, because, like, this is Atlas. They take care of their fans. And if you pre-order, you get the art book and the soundtrack. You don't even need the special edition.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. What about you, Chris? What are you looking forward to in particular?
I'm looking forward to El Shaddai.
Nice.
I mean, I'm interested in Catherine, but I don't really know a whole lot about it. I might look it up before it comes out, and you know, I might end up picking it up. But El Shaddai, I really love that art style.
It's a gorgeous game. Did you play the demo?
No, I haven't yet. I want to do that.
There's a side-scrolling platforming segment that is fucking gorgeous, and you literally ride on waves, like waves of water. Are like your platform, and it looks fucking incredible.
Yeah.
And I didn't think I could be sold any more on the game than I already was. That game really does look great, though. I'm definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah.
And I will definitely have to try out the demo, obviously.
Yes.
I didn't even realize the demo was out already.
Yep.
Yeah, it's been out for a while. I think I think it was May. Okay, June. Then it must have been.
It was basically the same one that was at PAX. So
okay.
Nothing that I haven't played.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we have August, and we have a few more games here in August. There's a bunch of stuff in here.
Yeah, surprisingly.
Chris is apparently looking forward to Phineas and Ferb.
Me too.
I don't laugh at me, man. Come on.
And I have to thank you, Chris, for that, because I guess you posted it on Twitter about it. You shared that link from Kotaku. They were doing like that gameplay, and I was like, "Wow, wait a sec! This is totally Ratchet and Clank."
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I hadn't read anything about it, and then Kotaku posted that link, and I said, "Wow, this looks really good."
Yeah,
because I love Ratchet and Clank, and I like the Phineas and Ferb cartoon. That show is actually pretty good.
It's cute.
So don't laugh at me, Craig.
Comment withheld. What I find interesting is that it's on the PS3 and the Wii.
Yeah.
Occasionally you do see these PS3, these games that are multi-platform on the PS3 and the Wii, and I'm like, what? Like, what? That's so weird. Like, that, like, not only do they snub the 360, but, like, it's on the Wii, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can understand it being on the Wii because, you know, it's based on a kid's show, and they might, you know, sell some copies on there, but not on the 360?
Well, in that interview, they did mention that the reason why it's not on the 360 is because apparently it has, like, move support. And, of course, like, all the, motion stuff with the Wii. I don't know why they're disconnect. I mean, I could kind of see whatever, but, yeah, that's because I guess I forget who did the interview. Yeah, he did ask. He said, why is there no love for the 360? And they were like, yeah, because there's, like, move functionality in the game. So that's pretty cool,
Is it mandatory, then?
I don't think so.
Then it shouldn't... But yeah, why then does it matter?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think so.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
We also have Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet, Xbox Live Arcade game. And this game, art style is gorgeous. And it's a really fun game. When I played it at PAX, I no one told me anything. Like, there's nothing. Like, I just picked up the controller from wherever someone else was playing. So, I really had to work things out for myself. But it's a bit like Metroid, I guess. You're like this saucer, and you have like different attachments, like a claw attachment, like a laser attachment, and you make your way through this level using your different attachments and solving a bit of puzzles and stuff. It was a bit simplistic. I think it was an early level that I played at PAX, but it was definitely a really, really interesting game.
Cool. It looks so good. Oh my gosh. The art style.
Art style's gorgeous.
It's crazy.
It's gorgeous in motion. And it's nice seeing, like, I don't know if there's an actual health bar. I don't think so. But, like, your ship gets reduced to tatters. It looks like a tattered umbrella. And it just looks really... I mean, I hate to say, like, oh, yeah, your ship beat up looks good, but it does. It's really impressive detail. Looks good. We got the No More Heroes, the PS3 port, Heroes Paradise.
So what is this? Is this just the first No More Heroes from the Wii ported to the PS3?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Deus Ex Human Revolution, which I am looking forward to. I enjoy the Deus Ex games, and I'm very much looking forward to the third one.
Nice.
Shin Megami Tensei Devil Survivor Overclocked on the 3DS. I'm a little disappointed that this is what Atlus chose to bring to the 3DS. They have this in, like, a Mahjong game, like, whatever. but, like, Devil Survivor just came out, maybe 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that old of a game, so I'm kind of disappointed that, like, they just ported, like, a 2-year-old game instead of something a little more interesting to the 3DS. I mean, even if it was a port, like, I would have bought another version of Persona 3, you know?
Right, no, I hear you.
So, I'm a little disappointed. It does have better graphics, supposedly. It does have voice acting, and it does have the game takes place over the course of 7 days. It does have a new 8th day, so there's some additional content.
Oh, cool.
There. And, I don't know if it's enough to, I mean, I'll be buying it because it's a Megatang game. But I don't know if it's enough for most people to upgrade if they already have Devil Survivor. If you have not played Devil Survivor, then do pick this up because it is a really good strategy RPG.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely recommend it. The original DS is also getting some love with Dragon Quest Monsters Joker 2. And I'm so glad. I was just like, man, I'm just going to buy this one in Japan. Fuck it. I'll just get it. Because
right.
They actually have two versions of Joker 2 in Japan. They have the original Joker 2 and they have Joker 2 Professional.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know what... That's how long it's taken for, like, this game to come out in the U.S.
Wow.
So I don't know what version this is. I don't know if this is the original or Professional. I would hope it's Professional with the additional content.
Uh-huh.
But I'm glad it's come out. I really enjoyed the first Joker. Dragon Quest Monsters Joker, so I'm glad that this has come out.
I haven't played the first one. Maybe I should try to find that. Hopefully it'll be cheap, right? Because it came out a while ago, didn't it?
Well, that doesn't always mean it. Sometimes it means it went up in price, but hopefully it is cheaper. Hopefully it is cheap. I don't know. I mean,
see,
I got
it. Should I track that down?
Yeah, I got it when it first came out, so I mean, I don't know
what
it costs now. I haven't really kept up with that. But.
Yeah.
And James Noir's Hollywood Crimes, it sounds like something Steph is looking forward to.
Yeah. Looks like Professor Layton.
Does it really?
It does.
I'm looking forward to this, too.
Oh, no kidding. Okay, well, maybe I should keep an eye on this, then. Okay.
Yep.
I got a lot of games coming out on August 30th here. Body Count, who put that in?
I think that was Fran.
Okay.
What is that a shooter?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know. We'll just say it.
You're counting bodies, and I don't. I'm pretty sure that you're counting them as they hit the floor. And then we got a couple of Driver games. We have Driver San Francisco on the big boy consoles and on PC, and then Driver Renegade 3D on the 3DS.
Mm.
And I'm not too sure how I feel about the Driver series. It could be fun. I don't know. I might be interested in the 3DS version, the portable version. I'm not really interested in a big budget version, so.
Yeah.
Depending on how the 3DS version is, I might give that a look. It could be interesting, come to think of it.
Mm-hmm.
So what in August, if you had to pick one game, what would be the game that you're looking forward to most in August, Chris?
Probably Insanely Twisted Shadow Planet. I can't even talk. That game looks... I really like the look of that game, and I am really looking forward to playing it.
Nice. What about you, Steph?
I'm going to go with Phineas and Ferb.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, I want a platformer.
I hear you. And I'm glad that in some ways these platformers are still kicking around, whether it's downloadable or side-scrolling, whatever. Man, I love me some platformers.
Yeah. I want a platformer.
Nice. I am going to actually go with the open-world, big-budget game. I'm going to go with Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Nice.
I'm a big fan of the first two, and I'm excited for this one. I can see myself really getting lost in this game. So
I've never played one of the Deus Ex games. And this looks really cool. Like, I saw some gameplay stuff in the trailers for it, and it does look cool, but I wouldn't even know where to start. Jeez.
Oh, it's great. It's great, because, like, you know, it's one of those games, it's like Fallout, where everyone's like, oh, what's the best way to do this or what best way to do that? But I'm like, I just do whatever I want to do.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of, Fallout.
You know,
and I was like, it was just like overwhelming. Like, Fallout was overwhelming for me because it's just so much, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a PC or do you have a Mac only, Steph? Do you have access to Steam?
I do.
Okay.
On my Mac, though.
Oh, okay. I see. Because I know Deus Ex, I don't know if it's the whole pack or just the first one. They've been on sale during the Steam sale.
So oh, okay. I think maybe they're on sale right now.
But I don't know if they run on Mac. That's the only pro. Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, it's nice that we have Steam, but half the games you can't play.
Right, right. I know. I'd be all over. Like, I just want to get a PC so I can play Steam. Like, that would be the only thing I would do on it.
I went to go, okay, because I heard all this Steam talk, right? So I'm like, okay, let me go on there. And I wanted to play Zuma. You know, the little, what is it? It's like Luxor, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. You shoot the balls. And
yeah, yeah, the colored balls. And it doesn't, they don't have it for the Mac. I'm like, what? How is this possible?
I know.
It's horrible.
I tried, you should try partitioning your hard drive and running Windows with Boot Camp.
Okay.
I tried.
Yeah, a lot of people have told me that.
I don't think. I mean, really, honestly, you should go online, look up the process, back up whatever's important to you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like, I tried to do it on my iMac. I'm not going to do it on my MacBook because the hard drive's not very big. But mm-hmm. I tried to do it on my iMac, and it basically told me to fuck off. It was like, it said something like, oh, the process couldn't complete, so why don't you reformat your entire hard drive? Why don't you back everything up, reformat the hard drive, and then try again? I'm like, I don't want Windows that bad. I'm not jumping through
all
those.
Yeah, really.
No way. So I think I just might buy, I mean, if Woot ever has like an inexpensive PC, mm-hmm. I can't define that, what inexpensive is, but I'll probably buy it just for some of these great sales, some of these great games I'm missing out on Steam.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not really that much of a PC gamer, but some of these games, like, you look at it, it's like $5 for like 8 games, and you're like,
I know.
How can I say no to mm-hmm. that?
I know.
But they say you should definitely check it. I recommend, they are tied, but you don't need to play the first one to enjoy the second one.
Okay.
I recommend checking out the second one. Do you have an original Xbox, Steph?
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you can get it on that, and really inexpensively. It's not an expensive game at all.
Okay.
And I recommend that one because it gives you the same sense of, like, customization and options and open-endedness, but a lot of it's more streamlined. So, like, it's not, you have these choices, and you can play the game your own way, but it's not nearly as overwhelming as the first game.
Okay.
Actually, a lot of people who enjoyed the first game didn't like the second one because of the simplification of a lot of the game's mechanics.
Right.
I personally prefer it.
Yeah, but see? Yeah, I would prefer that, too. I just feel, like I said, like, this seems like it's similar to Fallout after I saw, you know, the gameplay footage yep. and everything, the trailers. And Fallout was just so overwhelming to me. Like, I played it for like 10 minutes or until I got out of the vault, and then I got in this big open world and I was like, hell no, I don't know where I'm supposed to go. And then I popped it in like a year later and I was like, oh, I love Fallout, which is crazy. But yeah,
it's a sort of game where you really have to give it time. But in Deus Ex, the second one, Invisible War, like, let me put it to you this way. You don't have to carry separate ammo for your guns. Like, everything comes from a singular, like, nanite pool. Like, all your ammunition is made of nano machines.
Nice.
And they all form, like, the bullets or the rockets or whatever you need for
your particular
weapon. So, it just makes inventory management a little bit easier instead of, like, babysitting, like, different, like, ammo clips or whatever. But the things like that, that's what turned off a lot of, like, hardcore fans of, like, the first one. They like that complication, which is fine, but I like the streamlinedness of the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited for that. And then September, oh my god, I'm just overwhelmed by, like, all the great games in September. I'm definitely gonna, we're not getting Xenoblade or anything here, but.
We'll get it.
I
not
think
so. Sure, but.
Yeah.
Well, if we don't get it, we can get it, so.
You can import it, right.
Yeah.
You soft mod your Wii, so. We got Crushed 3D, or Crushed, mm-hmm. on the 3DS.
Looks good.
Yeah, I have that. Actually, I have it on my PSP, and I've never played it. I got it for like $3, and I still get to play it.
So. Really? It's a good puzzle game.
Shame
it's
on
like
me.
Echo Chrome a little.
Is it? I got to check it out.
Yeah.
Dead Island. And I'm interested in this game, but I don't know if I'm really, like, looking forward to it.
Yeah, I might. You know, it sounds interesting. It looks, you know, cool, but I might have to wait on Dead Island.
I think so, too. Yeah.
It's one of those games. The week after it comes out, it's going to be cheaper.
I think I have a feeling it is, too. So, yeah, I'm interested, but, yeah, just not that interested, I guess. Resistance 3. You know, I really like Resistance 2 when I first started playing it. Like, there's some aspects of it I'm like, wow, this is great. And the more I play it, I'm like, this is kind of bland.
Yeah.
Like, none of it's bad at all. Like, I can't call Resistance 2 a bad game in any capacity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, in the beginning, like, have you played it, Steph?
No, I played the first Resistance, and I like that. I haven't gotten around to Resistance 2, so I won't get this until I play Resistance 2.
It's a pretty good game. Like, I don't want to be hard on it. Like, it's a pretty good game. I really can't be hard on it. But I think as the time goes on, like, there's nothing, it just doesn't do anything, like, in the very beginning, like, there's this scene where, like, you're running through, like, these tunnels, and, like, you're popping out over ground, like, there's this giant alien walker, so, like, you're dodging these giant legs and shooting rockets off at it, and, like, swooping through tunnels, and you get to see it through, like, grates and stuff, like, it's a really exciting...
That sounds cool. Part.
Yeah. It does sound cool, and then it just translates, and then after that, it goes to, like, a really generic, like, first-person shooter. A solid one, a really well-made one, but, like, nothing remarkable about it. So, I don't know how I feel about Resistance 3. Maybe at some point. Not right away from me, anyway.
Does that have a special edition? Do you know?
Probably.
Oh, okay. Because I haven't really, you know, all this talk around Gears of War, their special editions, and all the other shooters have these big old special editions. I don't think I've heard anything about Resistance 3.
I would be surprised if it didn't. I'm pretty sure it does.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the second one did, so.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't even know that.
Yeah. We got Star Fox 64 3D, which I'm definitely interested in because I really enjoy Star Fox 64. I think it's a great game.
Same here.
That's going to be awesome. I kind of wish the multiplayer was online. I don't know why online is like this option anymore. Like, who the fuck am I going to play with? My cats? Like, no.
I know.
Like,
oh, God. Because
it's Nintendo.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
It sucks.
It does. We got the God of War Origins collection. I don't know. That's really weird, I think. Aren't those the PSP games?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just bilking that one.
It's cheaper to just buy them on the PSP.
It is. And they're just milking this franchise because they're like, oh, the third one, it's done. But like, you know there's going to be more. They got this Origins collection. They're going to God of War, like, cart or whatever. They're going to do something.
Something.
They got to keep it going. It's a cash cow. Can't blame them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got two Bit Trip collections. We have Bit Trip Saga on the 3DS and Bit Trip Complete on the Wii, and I'm really disappointed. Bit Trip Saga was announced first, and they're like, oh, by the way, we got this Wii version that has, like, more shit, and you're like, fuck you.
Yeah. Okay, because, see, I was just about to ask you, what's the difference? I mean, obviously the 3D and the 3DS version, but what about this Wii version?
The Wii version
has, like, it's got a bonus soundtrack CD, it's got, like, leaderboards and extra levels.
Damn it, so I'm gonna have to buy both?
Right, yeah, so you want the nice 3D graphics on the go, there's that one, but if you want the extra content, you gotta buy the... You gotta give it to Axis Games, and they know what they're doing.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But I think, I don't know if I'm gonna pick it up at launch. Well, I might, because it might go quick. This Axis game...
Their games usually do.
But... I think I'm going to go with the 3DS version.
I am too.
I think I'd rather enjoy the 3D visuals than all the extra content that, given how many games I buy and play, I may never get around to.
Yeah. I generally prefer to play games on the go anyway.
Right,
but
me too.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably never touch the extra levels and stuff anyway, so.
Right. We got Kirby Master Attack on the DS. Man, I'm so glad there's so many, like, DS games still coming out. DS is a fucking, like, powerhouse. I fucking love that system, and there's just still some awesome games coming out for it. Love it.
It's awesome.
Gears of War 3, I'm very excited for that, but I may not get it at launch. I mean, especially, it comes out September 20th. I leave in a couple days after that. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think I'm just gonna pass. It pains me to say, but I think I'm gonna pass and then get the Epic Edition sometime down the road when it drops. I mean, even down to, like, I would even consider it, like, $120 or $100. It doesn't need to be the rock-bottom $50 for me to get it. But I'm probably not going to get it at launch. But it speaks nothing of the game. It just speaks more of my situation.
Yeah, what you're doing, yeah.
Yeah, bad timing.
On the other hand, we do have Shin Megami Tensei Persona 2 Innocent Sin on the PSP. Nice. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to get that at launch.
Right. You could take that to Japan.
I will be taking that to Japan. I don't know. I probably won't be taking my PSP. If I take one, it's probably the 3DS. Get a bunch of
jealous of those street passes you're going to get.
I'm going to get mad street passes.
Right?
Especially in Akiba. I can't wait. It's going to be great.
Dang.
We do have another collection, Eco and Shadow of the Colossus collection, which is nice. I will probably be picking that up. I think one of my biggest problems with Shadow of the Colossus is the frame rate and the jagged lines. Like, everyone's like, oh, God, I love this game. And I'm like, the frame rate sucks, and the jagged lines are really distracting. And, like, the controls, I think, are a little awkward. I've had this discussion with Seth. He doesn't agree with me. It's fine. It's okay, but obviously they're not
going to... As long as we accept that you're wrong.
Touche. I'm sure they won't be changing the controls, but, you know, if they can... I hear they're going to have a steady frame rate. Obviously, there's not going to be a jag. It's going to be in HD, so that's going to clear up most of my problems with the game. Because, I mean, I didn't even play the game at launch, you got to remember, you know, so it's like, I'm playing it a little bit later, and I'm not nearly as impressed as other people were. Maybe that has something to do with it. I don't know.
I love Shadow of the Colossus, so I'm definitely picking this up day one.
Yeah, me too.
And I have Eco, but I've never played all the way through it. And then they announced this, so I figured I'll just wait for that to play through.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a good point.
So yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
I'll be picking it up and trying to approach Shadow of the Colossus with new eyes. I've never played Eco. Have I played Eco? For some reason, I don't know. I don't know if I've played a game.
That's okay.
Yeah. Another game I'm really looking forward to, Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure. I'm the kid in me is super psyched for this game. Like, little action figures that save, like, the data.
Like, see, there's your Phineas and Ferb.
I guess,
there you go.
It's exactly. Yeah. It's they're very similar games. Like, it's an action platformer. You have multiple characters with different abilities and different weapons.
But you get cool little figures.
Exactly. You get these little toys that you stand on this little pad that I assume connects via USB to your system, mm-hmm. and all your stats are saved on the action figure.
Yeah, I'm so excited about this.
That's a really cool idea.
I don't know if kids play toys anymore, but that's so awesome. Like, this is the perfect way to do DLC. Like, Activision's like, wah-ha-ha-ha, like, yeah. We're going to take all your monies now. And it's like, you go out, buy new packs of figures, and not only is that, like, basically DLC, but it's like, you get these little physical figurines at the same time.
Yeah.
Genius.
Awesome.
It is.
I'm curious to see how it does, though.
Me too. Both the gamer and, I guess, the kid in me, like I said, are excited mm-hmm. for this. But I think I can see a lot of gamers, like, turn their nose up at this. Like, oh, I have to use my hands? That's a baby's toy. Like, they,
yeah.
They're not going to want to swap out their action figures. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah.
But to me, I think it's really cool. I'm excited.
It is.
I wish this came out, like, 15 years ago or something.
Right?
Really?
So cool. We also have Shinobi on the 3DS. Sega.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know about that one either.
I could wait on Shinobi.
I think so, yeah. Yeah. But what I'm not going to wait on is Solo Turobo, Red the Hunter, Day
So much
one.
Talk about this game.
It's
crazy.
It's so good. It's so, that's why. It's
that's
so
awesome. Good. I need to look some footage up on this, because I have
yeah,
no clue what it is.
It's got furries, that's all I know.
Yeah, that's all I know.
It is a furry game. It is a very furry game. But it's like this action RPG where, like, battling really isn't the core of the game. Although you have, like, this giant, like, robot, and mm-hmm. you do shit with it. But, like, it'll just reminds me a lot of the Crystal Bearers on the Wii in some ways, where, like, it'll just throw, like, ideas and mechanics at you and never use them again.
Oh, cool.
It doesn't repeat these things over and over again. Which, on the one hand, kind of sucks, because if you really enjoy an element and it's not reintroduced later, you know, that kind of stinks. But at the same time, like, I sort of look at it like, if you were to, like, read a novel about an adventure, or watch, like, a TV series about an adventure or something like that, like, are they really going to do the same things over and over again?
True.
No, you're going to keep seeing or reading new, interesting things. And that's sort of, like, how I view Crystal Bear, like, this grand adventure with new things around every corner. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what Solo Turobo is like.
Right.
So, and it's gorgeous to look at, and really charming. Excellent, excellent game. Everyone with
and
a
that's
DS
in September?
Wise. That is September.
Okay, right.
It actually already came out in the UK.
Nice.
But we get it, I believe, on the 27th. Same day as Skylanders, Spyro's Adventure, so that's going to be an expensive day for me.
Right. Is there a special edition?
I don't X-Seed. Think so. It's X-Seed, and yeah. They put out really great special editions on the PSP, but mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to do it for Hero than DS.
Aww.
I'll ask him about it, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
We also have X-Men Destiny coming out in September. Or slated for September, yeah. I think. I'm not sure if that's actually coming out, but...
Yeah.
Is this like all the other X-Men games?
I think it's a co-op game, isn't it? Is it like an action co-op game? Am I mistaken?
I think so, yeah.
And I think it's being developed by...
Silicon Knights.
Oh, wow.
Two Human fame, yeah, which is weird. Huh. I think it's
that's
like their first project since Two Human, so that's really...
Been in the works for a while.
Yeah.
Now, is there another X-Men game coming out? No? I mean, X-Men movie coming out? Or
okay.
No?
No, I think this is independent.
Okay. Yeah. That's weird.
That's what's actually got my interest in it, is the fact that it's not tied into something.
Right.
You know,
okay,
stuff like,
cool.
like Batman Arkham Asylum was really good because it wasn't a tie-in, and the same
True.
As the Spider-Man game last year, so... I got high hopes. Well, maybe not high hopes, but
right.
I'm going to check it out.
Hopes.
I got hopes.
And then Legend of Zelda Four Swords also coming out in September. Free on DSiWare, so that's really cool. I hope they implement online. I'm sure they're not going to, but that would be mind-blowing.
I'm right there with you.
So that's September. Really packed month. Just a wide variety of games. Really impressive stuff. But if you had to pick one game, Steph, what are you looking forward to the most?
Gears of War 3. I was going to say Star Fox 64 3D, but no, I'll go with Gears of War 3.
How about you, Chris?
I'm going to say Star Fox. I never actually had the game on the N64. I played it at a friend's house, and then I got it, like, on the virtual console. But, I mean, I haven't played it nearly as much as I've played a lot of the other Nintendo classics. So,
nice.
I'm really looking forward to putting some time into that.
I'm going to go with the God of War Origins collection. Nah, fuck that. I'm going with Soul Turbo. You know what it is.
Yeah.
Saw that coming.
We have a few other games, like, slated for quarter three. Spider-Man Edge of Time, which I'm sure Chris is, like, creaming his panties over there for.
I bet.
Blood Rain Betrayal from Majesco, Xbox Live Arcade, PSN. Looks really awesome.
Yeah.
And what about this Nicolas game? That's not coming out. That's never coming out.
It's finally come out in Japan, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah, so hopefully... They said it's going to be out this summer, and they said it was coming out in Japan in June, and it did, so...
Okay, so do you know how to pronounce that, Chris? La Mulana?
La Mulana? I'm not positive.
I've never heard it spoken aloud, so...
Yeah, I haven't either.
But it's like an open world
like platformer, like, you know, Metroid or Cave Story or something like that.
Nice.
But with like an Indiana Jones kind of theme, so.
Yeah, it looks really cool, so.
You know, and how long I've been waiting for that, you know, so hopefully it actually comes out.
Nice. So, definitely lots of great games. Like I said at the beginning, like, this has got to be my favorite quarter of all time. So many awesome games. We asked listeners on the Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TVNLust. What they were looking forward to. Colton says he's looking forward to Earth Defense Force, Catherine and Soul Turbo, A Man After My Own Heart. Colton, let's get married and run away together, please. Will's looking forward to Dragon Quest Monsters Jokers 2, Catherine, and Gabriel's Ghostly Groove 3D, which I think is a Natsume game. I think they're putting that out.
Is there a DS version of it? No.
I think there's a DSiWare version of it, yeah.
Okay.
Which is sort of like a warm-up for the 3DS version, I think.
Okay.
Severi is looking forward to Rage, and he says, and Dark Souls on the same day, which is actually my birthday here in the U.S. Those come out on the same day on my birthday here in the U.S.
Q4 doesn't count.
Wow, Rage is out in September?
Right, yeah, that's October 4th, and then Rusty's looking forward to Arkham City. And I don't know if they teach kids quarters in schools anymore, but all those games come out in, like, October. Like, that's quarter four, gentlemen. That's not quarter three. So disqualified, you're all fired.
Definitely some good games, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Good-looking games.
But we will be talking about those in about 4 months. 3 months, sorry. That's, you know.
Do you even know quarters?
I don't know quarters either. What am I talking about? I can't be talking about bad about no one. We also have some listener questions for us. Again, on facebook.com/TVNLust. If you want to keep up to date with the website and interact with us with this podcast, be sure to check that out. Give us a like. Marco asks, I don't know if you talked about this before, but can somebody really put meat on cheese and not otherwise? Seriously.
I don't know.
I guess with the 360 rotational aspect of a sandwich, you can really put anything where you
want.
Yeah. I don't know, Marco. This poses an interesting question. I'll have to ponder this. Christopher asks, Rainfall success, yay or nay? I assume he's referring to Operation Rainfall, the letter writing initiative that's gained some notoriety recently about Nintendo of America localizing games. And particularly Pandora's Tower, Xenoblade, and The Last Story. And I'm going to go with nay. I mean, some sense, because they gave...
I want it to be yay.
Right. I mean,
they got Nintendo's attention, but they still got the same response.
Right. Yeah. And Nintendo's like, nah. So, and I mean, here's the thing. Like, I really haven't talked... We haven't talked too much about Operation Rainfall, because as much as I think it's a great initiative, I'm glad it got it a lot of attention. Look, I got to be honest. I don't support causes that I don't think are going to go anywhere. And that sounds self-defeating. Well, if you don't support it, how you know? Well, I know Nintendo of America. That's why I know. So, best of luck to them. I mean, I hope that this not only raise awareness of gamers' mind, but raise awareness in Nintendo of America's mind that, like, fuck, we don't want Glory of Heracles, we want the last story.
yeah, really.
So I wish it all the best. It's not that I condemn it or anything like that. I think it's awesome. It's just, I'm not going to waste my time what I think is a lost cause.
Yep.
Yeah.
They don't listen. XSEED might listen. Atlas might listen. These sorts of companies, they might listen. Maybe Axis. Not Nintendo of America. They do whatever the fuck they want. They always
have. Yeah. And it's a shame, too, because, like, it seems like gamers just came together. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
no, everyone's
protesting for it, but it's a waste of breath.
Right. So, I mean, I sort of support, like, some aspects of it, but just at the same time, like, I have too much shit to do. I'm not going to waste my time with something that I just don't think is going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I was supportive of the pre-ordering on Amazon because I figured maybe money would be helpful. But, I mean, after they said no, you know, I've given up, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, if people are still willing to go out there and try to get them, good for them. I hope it works, but I'm not going to count on it.
Right. I mean, if it was any other company, like if we were petitioning like Atlas or XSEED, I would probably be on board Operation Rainfall, but it's just Nintendo. They're a brick wall. Nintendo America is a total fucking brick wall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only reason why I'm just like, eh. So, Scott asks, your favorite Sony system: PS1, PS2, PSX, PS3, or PSP?
PS2.
It's tough for me because like I've gone through several PS1s and PS2s.
Mm-hmm.
They've never been a reliable system. PS3, man, fuck this. Firmware updates, mandatory installs, all this other bullshit. I can't stand that. My PSP I had to replace as well. Like, it's tough because I have never had any luck with Sony hardware, and I can't stand the PS3's, like, online infrastructure and OS. But, I mean, I guess... So, looking beyond the hardware and looking at the library... I'm going to go with PS2 because it has an incredible... Hardware aside, like, if we're not talking about the hardware, the library is fucking amazing on the PS2.
It is.
I agree. I never had a problem with my PS2.
A lot of people did.
But then I never got a red ring on my 360 either, so...
Oh, wow, man.
Maybe you better knock on some wood.
Yeah, really. Yeah, I went through two PS2s, and that was back when I was like... Man, I was, like, putting myself through, like, community college and, like, working full-time. I'm like, I can't afford all these fucking PS2s. Get the fuck out of here, Sony. My PS1 got, like, it started, like, overheating and, like, wouldn't read discs unless I flipped it upside down or some shit. Like, it was fucked up. So, you know, call me crazy, but it's just, I feel like every single time I buy a Sony system, I get bitten in some way.
Yeah.
You know? So, if I'm ever hard on Sony's hardware, that this is no, I hope people understand why. But they have great libraries. You can't deny them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I keep buying them. Luki asks, favorite TV show? I know Craig's going to say X-Files, but I was wondering about the others. Damn right I'm going to say X-Files. But I like other shows. I like Veronica Mars. That's one of my favorite shows.
Oh, Veronica Mars is so awesome. I was so mad when it got canceled.
I know, right? Fuck. I also really like Battlestar Galactica, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Seinfeld. Some of my favorite shows. What about you guys?
Let's see. Buffy the Vampire Slayer. That's right up there with Veronica Mars. More recent ones, True Blood. Love me some True Blood. Dexter. Yeah. And I'm just now getting into Breaking Bad. So
I still have to get into that.
I used to love that too.
Oh, it's awesome.
Heard great things, but never seen it.
I used to be an enormous Buffy fan. And I have
really?
I've actually bought every season twice on DVD.
No way.
I did, because the first time they came in those giant boxes that, like, folded out.
Yeah, that's what I had. I had those giant ones.
And eventually, like, my discs started going bad on those.
Okay.
They don't keep very well. Those were such shitty ideas, those giant boxes.
Yeah.
So then Fox re-released them on those, like, those little slimline DVD cases.
Okay.
And they were, like, $30 a pop, so I'm like, whatever. So I bought all seven seasons again.
Nice.
And
now, did you like Angel?
No.
The show? Neither did I.
Nah. But honestly, I can't really watch Buffy anymore. It's really cringeworthy. It's very corny. I loved it at the time. I loved Buffy so much. And
yeah.
I guess I still like it. Like, I can't say I don't like it, but man, there's just so many aspects of that where I'm like,
It hasn't aged well.
It has not aged well. Firefly, on the other hand, has aged. I mean, it's not as old. But
that's a series I need to watch. I've heard such great things about Firefly.
Firefly's
really good. It's on Netflix, too.
Oh, no way. Okay.
Yeah, and the movie,
too. I gotta add it.
Yeah. So watch the series and then watch the movie, Serenity.
And then watch the movie. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good shit.
Sweet.
It is good.
What about you, Chris?
Lost.
Yeah. Wait a second. Who am I talking to?
Yep. Other than that, stuff that's on now, I really like Dexter. You know, I really like Fringe. 30 Rock is really good.
Fringe is good.
Older stuff, The Simpsons, Batman the Animated Series, which Seth and I have talked about.
Nerds!
Shut up. But yeah, Lost is definitely number one for me.
Nice.
How did each of you meet each other? I skipped over one. Andreas asked, lots of serious Xbox and PS console rumors. Are you guys buying it? Both slated for 2002. PS with full body motion control. If all three consoles hit, which will you buy or get all? I'm not buying into the rumors. Sony said way too many times. It's so weird because like the first generation where it doesn't matter. Between the power of the consoles and the ability to update firmware, I don't see the drastic need for like new consoles.
I agree.
We could go another 2 years.
I think we can go for another two.
Three.
Years. Maybe three, but at least two.
At least two.
I'm not buying 2002.
Yeah.
The market's just not ready. I think a lot of gamers, there's some hardcore tech heads who are like, oh man, these guys, these can't do these kind of standards and it's just not good enough. So go back to your PCs.
Yeah.
Do what you're gonna do there. Console wise, I think there are very few people that are like chomping at the teeth. Like I am in the sense that like I like seeing new stuff, but when it comes to buying it and playing a game, I'm really not that excited for a new system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The new Wii on there, that PS3 and 360, nah. And I don't buy these rumors. I don't see that they're happening.
Yeah,
not same next here. Year. Not next year.
And then with me, I don't know if this happens to you guys, but. You know, when they announce PS3 and 360, and then you get so hyped about them, and then they come out, and the games really aren't too good. So you find yourself playing, like, I found myself playing mostly my PS2, and my Xbox. Like, I didn't really play the 360 too much, because that was my first, like, next-gen console. I picked that up before the PS3, but I played more of my PS2 and Xbox and GameCube until the library started rolling, you know, so...
This may surprise people, but the Wii is the only system this generation, well, not including the 3DS, but the Wii is the only system I've got at launch. DS, PSP, PS3, 360, I waited.
Yeah, I waited for all of them, too.
And the Wii U, I can see myself getting at launch. I mean,
yeah, I'm going to do that.
I just have a soft spot for Nintendo hardware, so I see that happening. But if a new Sony or Microsoft system are launched, no way. The Vita I'll probably get at launch, but a new console, nah. I can't. Mm-hmm. I don't see myself doing that. As hardcore like gaming and collector I am, I can't see it happening day one.
Yeah,
it's too much. It'll be too expensive, and the games won't be there.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I'm sure I would get them eventually, but not day one.
Yeah.
Especially if they all came out in the same year. Fuck that.
I know. Yeah. Because I don't see Vita happening this year. I see it early next
2012.
Year.
Yeah.
So if you got Vita, Wii U, the next Xbox, the next PlayStation will come out of here, fuck that. The industry would collapse. Like, no one will be able to afford that.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're pushing 3D TVs and, no one will be able to afford that shit.
Yep. And that's a whole other bag.
I hope the industry's smarter than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adam asks, how did each of you meet each other? I met Chris on the IGN forums. Excuse me. Fuck it, we'll do it live.
Bless you.
Thank you.
If that was a sneeze.
That was a sneeze.
There you go.
I met Chris on the IGN forums, and the funny thing is that we actually lived near each other for ever until he just moved to Wisconsin recently. Yep. And we didn't even really like know it until it was practically too late.
And we still never met.
And we still never met, yeah.
I'm such a dick, right?
I am. Wow. Chris, fuck. And I met Steph through YouTube, like a lot of other... YouTube's been absolutely amazing in meeting people. I can't sing its praises enough. Like, the gaming community on YouTube is amazing. I'm not as active as I once was. I'm not like, oh, community! As I once was.
Yeah.
It's hard, because people... When you get popular, people expect a certain quality and a certain amount of videos from you.
Mm-hmm.
And you're working on that shit, and it's really hard to be like... you know, mingling at the parties and shit while you're doing it. When you're setting up the party, it's really hard to be, like, a guest at the party, too, you know?
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I appreciate every one of the great people I met on YouTube. I mean, even just people in passing who send me these really positive messages on YouTube. It's really great, so.
Mm-hmm.
What about, I guess that answers, how did YouTube
yeah, that
me?
Answers
how did YouTube me?
through here.
There you go. Angel asks, thoughts on games that release with different content for different retailers? Fuck it.
Gosh. So annoying.
Also, why would developers do this? Because it benefits the business. Because,
it does.
Yeah, because it benefits Best Buy and Target and GameStop, not you. It's totally, if anything is anti-consumer, it's this. He says, personally, I can't stand this. Think it'll stop in the future? No.
Nope.
wish.
Nope. We're just seeing it take off.
It's one thing if one store gets something. Like, it's one thing when GameStop gets something, because then you still have the option of getting that one thing. There's only one thing. And it's you know, so you can whine, oh, GameStop got an exclusive, but you can either get that or not. It's
different. Yeah, I like pre-order bonuses, don't get me wrong. But.
Right. But when it's five different things at five different retailers, that's a pain in the fucking ass.
Yeah.
That sucks. Yeah. Like, L.A. Noire, like, it was different missions. Like, it was different meaningful things with L.A. Noire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
if it was, like, a gun or a suit or something, that's fine. But missions?
I know.
Sucks.
Don't like it at all.
Supposedly, Uncharted 3 is going to be, like, actual in-game content that you can unlock, but...
Now, see, that's cool, because then you get to pick your leg up.
Yeah.
I can get behind that, because we talked about this before. You can pick your leg up what you want to get early on, and then you unlock the other things later. Not pay for them, unlock them later. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I hope more companies do that, because...
They won't.
The way it's going now, it sucks.
Because if it's something they can charge you for, like the missions of L.A. Noire, because that's exactly what they're doing now, is charging you for the missions that you didn't get, that's what they'll do. I think they're going to lean towards that.
I think you're right.
We talked about this early on, but I have no problem publishers making a little extra money. I really don't. But they got to find this middle ground where, like, you can keep your customers satisfied and happy and paying for the content. Right now, they're sort of begrudgingly paying for the content and, like, bitching about you behind your back. So, obviously, they don't seem to care about that because they're still getting the money either way. But,
right.
You know, I would prefer they walked a middle-of-the-road approach. Like Sony's doing with Uncharted 3. I think that's probably the best way to go.
Yeah.
Severi asks, did you spend a fortune on the Steam Summer Sale? No, because we went over this because we have Max, and that just doesn't
I spent $5. I bought, what did I buy? Amnesia?
I know what you bought.
Yeah. I bought Amnesia. That's what I got. And it was $5, and I didn't even know that was part of the sale. I would have bought Zuma, but, yeah, can't play on my Mac, so I bought Amnesia.
Macs do everything that I need them to do except play games. I love my Macs. You know, I love OS X. Yeah. People can rag on Macs all they like, but I like it. But when it comes to playing games, man, dropping the ball.
Yeah.
Well, it's not really Mac. I mean, that's the developers not porting them.
Yeah.
That's really what it is. Like, I mean, you can't blame Mac for that, but it's just a byproduct of having a Mac.
Right.
But, you know, honestly, it didn't bother me until, like, all these great Steam sales. Now I'm like, fuck, what am I missing out on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Such great prices. I mean.
Absolutely. But when it comes to, like, editing video, which I do a lot of, I know a lot of people can say, oh, if you have a PC and this much memory and, like, this application and you do this and you jump through a bunch of hoops, it'll be just fine. But, like, everyone I know who edits video on PCs wants to throw their PCs out the fucking window.
Yeah, I'm always hearing about their PCs crashing.
Yeah.
Because of whatever software they use in
the
edit video.
And iMovie is fast, quick, easy, and it doesn't, like, I can surf the web on my... Good luck rendering a movie and, like, doing other things on a PC.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you can. Like, I shouldn't blanket all because there's a lot of configurations and applications. But even when I ran Windows, I didn't have the best of luck with that kind of stuff. So, for me, like, I would rather have iMovie and not have the games. Like, that, to me, is just greater benefit. But anyway, I know we're going to get a lot of comments. Oh, fuck you, Mac fanboy, but whatever. What can you do?
It's worth it.
Hey, in the end, yeah. I'm making videos and your computer's crashing, so what do you want from me? Lewis asks, can you do a review of Transformers Dark Side of the Moon? Or Dark of the Moon, Dark Side of the Moon. Money! I don't know. I don't plan on picking up the game. Anyone else?
Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere down the line if maybe. It's, you know, cheap. But, no. I haven't even seen the movie yet. So.
Me either.
Yeah. Whatever.
I haven't seen the second one, let alone the third one.
You're not missing much with the second one.
Yeah. You didn't miss. That's what I heard. I fell asleep in the movie theater during the second one. So, yeah.
That wraps up questions.
So no, you can do a review.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Lewis. We can't do a review. No one plans on picking it up. And I don't have a business relationship with Activision, so it's all good. Sorry, man. I guess we can talk about games we've been playing recently. And Chris, mm-hmm. Do you want to start us off?
Sure. Most of the week, I have been playing Final Fantasy III for the Super Nintendo. So Final Fantasy VI.
Nice.
Isn't it amazing?
It's actually really good. I really
actually,
like it.
Like, there's any doubt.
Which is, I gotta stop saying I don't like RPGs, because if you look at, like, my list on the GBA retrospective, like, three of them were RPGs. I've actually never finished a Final Fantasy game before, so I am kind of surprised that I'm liking it. But I really am, you know? You know, the graphics are good. I've played Final Fantasy IV on the GBA, and I think this definitely looks better than Final Fantasy IV.
Yes.
So I was, you know, the graphics aren't, you know, mind-blowing by today's standards, but, I mean, I was impressed by what I was expecting anyway.
A lot of emotion in those sprites. Like, they're able to get out a lot of emotive actions.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. The battle system is kind of cool, you know, the way each character has, like, a special skill. You know, you can blitz or do magic or use tools. And the story and, like, you know, the characters and stuff, it seems, I hate to say the word epic, but, you know, the way you go to, like, different parts of the world and the characters split up and stuff, it does seem kind of grand in scope, which is pretty cool. You know, I like the way it doesn't focus on just one character. You know, you kind of go around and follow the different characters to different places. The part I'm at, they just kind of split into, like, three different groups, and you have to pick which way to go. So, it's pretty cool.
Such a great game. I gotta replay that.
Yeah, I had never played it before, because, you know, like I said, I've never been a fan of Final Fantasy, but I am really enjoying it. I wish I had the GBA version, because, like I've said thousands of times, I prefer playing on handhelds, but... you know, it just came out on the virtual console on the Wii, and, you know, for $8, I figured I'd give it a shot, and I'm really enjoying it. I put, like, 5 or 6 hours into it, which is, I think, more than I've put into most other Final Fantasy games, so. When I also picked up Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Fall of the Foot Clan on Game Boy, which is so good! No.
It's really mediocre, isn't it?
It really is. You know, it's a very basic, like, action platformer, kind of. You know, it's not bad. You know, you go to the right and you kill enemies, which is fine. But you move very slowly. Like,
yeah.
You move slower than, like, Mario when you don't hold the run button.
You should try Back from the Sewers.
Yeah, if I find any of those games, I would really like to try them out. The only one I had played before was the third one. Which is kind of like a Metroid or Castlevania thing.
Yeah, it's like Michelangelo or something like that in that one.
Yeah, you start out as Michelangelo, and the others are like captured.
Yeah.
And each one has like a different move. So Michelangelo can do like this helicopter fly, and Leonardo can like use his sword to dig in the ground.
Which
so
is
as
totally
you,
unrealistic, but
okay. It is. But like as you unlock them, you get like a new move when you unlock each one.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool. But I definitely would like to try the second one, because I've never played that one either.
That one's hard.
Is it?
Yep. Yeah, you have four turtles, and if one dies, it gets captured.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of every level, you can play Rescue Game, which is, like, you have to fight, like, this robotic, like, sentry to, like, get back one of the turtles that has been kidnapped,
mm-hmm.
like, captured. And, man, like, that's the one that sticks most in my mind, because that's such a bitch, because, like, you're basically fighting for, like, another, like, life. Like, you have four lives. Like, those are your lives.
Mm-hmm.
And... oh my god, it's so tense. That stupid robotic sentry. Fuck him. Fuck him. And he like walks around and like kicks you and like shoots you, and I'm like, ugh, hate him.
Ugh.
But yeah, it's a really challenging game, but I think it's a lot better than Fall of the Foot Clan.
Yeah, I had never played Fall of the Foot Clan, and it was like $2, so I said, what the hell?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth $2. I mean, it's worth a couple dollars to, you know, try.
Yeah, I mean, paying $2 for it, I mean, and spending about half an hour beating it, you know, I don't regret it, but... And I think that's the reason you walk so slowly, because the game only takes about a half an hour.
Right.
And what's weird is there's no save function in this game, is there?
I don't think so.
Because
the save function in like a half hour game.
Yeah, but on
what kind
the
of ADD
menu
do you have.
No, but on the main menu, all the levels are unlocked. So you could potentially buy the game, start from the last level.
It's been a long. I got that game when it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I no longer own it, so I can't really tell you.
I was hoping that like maybe there was it had saved and like you know so those levels become unlocked after you beat it. But from what I've read online, you know, those levels are just unlocked from the beginning. So I don't know why they would need to be there if the game is only half an hour long. But it seems kind of dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Well.
But I mean, it's a good game for you know $2, but you know I wouldn't quite recommend it. I have been playing Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep.
Nice.
That game's really good. You know, I haven't played Kingdom Hearts since, like, the second one. You know, I didn't play any of the DS games or anything. But it plays a lot like the PS2 games. Except it seems like the battle system is more complex, which is kind of strange since it's a portable game. But it's cool. I'm enjoying it.
Nice.
Do you have to, like, collect different shit in each world? Does this keep happening?
Kind of.
It seems a little redundant. Like, I played through the Snow White world, and you have to, like, find the dwarfs, and then I got to the Cinderella world, and you have to find, like, parts of her dress.
Oh my god, that's such a pain in the ass too, because, like, everything's so fucking huge in that world.
Yeah. Yeah, I have, like, one thing left to find, and I'm sick of running around these giant room looking for it, but it's a cool game, you know, it plays a lot like the PS2 games, and I'm enjoying it, so. I picked up Klonoa Empire of Dreams for GBA.
Nice, nice.
Oh, that game is awesome.
Yeah, I picked that up at this store yesterday with the Turtles game too, and that was, I think Klonoa was only like $6. It's cool, you know. I haven't played a whole lot of it yet, but it seems like a solid platformer. I hope it gets a little more challenging as you go on, because so far.
But that's the thing about Klonoa games. I don't know. I haven't played the PS1 version. Was that the first one? Is that the first Klonoa?
I think so.
Yeah, I haven't played that one, but all the other ones that I've played, they're pretty easy, you know?
Yeah, they are pretty easy games. They're fun, but they're easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never played a Klonoa game before. I have the Wii one, but I've never played it.
Stupid ass.
I know.
That's a good one, too.
That's how I am with, like, every game that I have. Duh. It's a cool game, though. You know, I say it's easy, but I've only played, like, the first couple of levels, so... I really shouldn't be saying anything about how easy it is yet.
Nah, they're pretty easy. Like,
yeah,
they're pretty easy.
Yeah. It's cool, though. I mean, I think I'll keep playing it. I got it in my Game Boy Micro, so I can take it anywhere I go.
Bam.
I played some Sonic and Sega All-Stars Racing with Banjo-Kazooie, which I think is the longest title ever. It seems like a shameless Mario Kart ripoff, but it's really fun.
It's better than Mario Kart Wii.
I can't put my finger on why, but I mean, I am enjoying it more than I enjoyed Mario Kart Wii. And I really don't know why.
No blue shells. That's why.
That's
right.
But I mean, it's just weird that like most of the items are you know exactly the same as in Mario Kart, except you know it's like boxing gloves instead of shells.
I know. We're in boxing gloves.
Or bombs or whatever. But I mean, it's really fun. You know, I'm really enjoying that too. And I've been playing some Zelda Oracle of Seasons, which probably don't have a whole lot to say about since, you know, we talked about Link's Awakening in the last couple weeks anyway. But, you know, that's as good as it's always been.
Nice.
And that's about it for me, which is a lot for me, but...
Yeah, it is a lot. What about you, Steph? You playing as much as Chris?
No, not as much, unfortunately. Hopefully soon, though. I've been playing Okami Dance. Trying to get through with that game. It's cool. I like it. At first, it's a little lukewarm. When it came out, I tried it, you know.
Yeah.
And couldn't really get down with it. And that might have had something to do with all the other games that were coming out at the time, you know. And I think I was playing another game. Yeah. And I think I was playing another game on the DS. So I went back to it. you know, in the beginning of the summer, like towards the end of June, and I've been playing it, and it's a lot. It's just like the PS2 version, which is weird, but I'm having fun with it. So, and it looks like it's gonna be a long game, so that's pretty cool. Have something to take with me when I go to Orlando in the next few weeks. Also playing Tales of Vesperia.
Oh, nice! That's a good game.
Which is amazing. Oh my gosh. I think this is, like, the best RPG that I've played on, you know, the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and the Wii. Like,
it's on console.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It's really so
good.
Amazing.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm loving it. And I really, like, I want to get into the Tales series. Like, I've played Tales of Symphonia, and I love that game. That was, like, one of my favorite games of, you know, last generation. Loved it. But that's the only one that I've played. So,
you've played the two best, really.
I know. See, and that's what a lot of people say. But I wish that they would put, I mean, it seems like it would be perfect on, like, a handheld. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
I don't know
if
there's, like,
a bunch of them on, like, DS, but they just never came out over here.
Yeah, yeah. See,
I think there's, like, two or three of them on DS.
Wow. Yeah, it seems like it would just be perfect for that. Even the PSP, you know, it would be cool. But
I think they have a couple of them. I know. I think they have, like, Tales of the World Radia Mythology on PSP. I think there's a couple of them on PSP, actually.
Okay. Maybe I'll look into that. But Tales of Vesperia, so awesome. Looks amazing. The combat is just so much fun. And I'm enjoying it. So those are really the only two games I've been playing. I mean, I popped in Contact for the DS.
Such a weird game, isn't it?
It is so weird. I don't know what to think of this game. Like, really, I appreciate the presentation and everything, the way that the game's presented. I think it's really cool. And, you know, it's cutesy, cute little story, amazing box art. I think the art on the cover of the game is just amazing. And I know that doesn't really count, but I really like it. But as far as the combat goes, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, because everything is automatic.
It is automatic. And, like, you have, like, different, like, you have so many different items that you can have at any given point. You have, like, different, like, suits and stickers. It's really weird.
It is. And I don't want to give up on it, because that's what happened a couple years ago when I bought it. I played it for, like, 20 minutes, and I was like, let me put this back on the shelf. But I played it for, like, an hour, and I'm stuck on the first boss. And that's probably because I have no clue what I'm, you know, how the combat works. So, I don't know. I'll fiddle around with it a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it's worth sticking through. I mean, I think its concepts don't quite match its gameplay value, if you know what I mean. Like, it's more, a little more ambitious than I think its gameplay really merits. But I think in the end, it's still a pretty good game, and I think it's worth sticking out.
Yeah, I'll try. So that's basically it. Those three games.
Nice. For me, speaking of high concepts not quite matching gameplay, I've been playing a couple DSiWare games, and I just reviewed one on the site, The Lost Town, The Dust.
Okay.
And this is basically, I talked a little bit about it, I think, last episode, if I'm not mistaken, but it's basically like a mashup of, like, real-time strategy, role-playing, and, like, tower defense. You have this completely overhead view. Everything's controlled with the stylus. You know, you can tap to direct your character. You can sort of slide it around like Zelda to move around as well. You tap on an enemy to initiate, like, auto-attacking with whatever weapon you have equipped. You level up. You earn money. It takes place in this sort of post-apocalyptic kind of town, overrun with, like, monsters and zombies. And in the middle of the town, you have, like, this stronghold. It's like a circular wall, and in the middle is, like, your camp. And during the day, you wander around, you kill, you know, zombies, enemies, whatever, rescue survivors, find money, things like that. And then you go back to camp, and you can buy new items, new armor. You can hire the people that you just rescued. So it's like, oh, my God, we're overrun with monsters. Like, oh, well, you have to pay me to help out. Thanks for saving me and all, but you're going to have to pay me. So you have to hire them as mercenaries to, like, overlook the stronghold or, like, follow you around. And then at night, the monsters overrun the stronghold. So then you have to fight them off to keep the stronghold up. If they breach the walls and then come in and, like, destroy the camp, like, you lose. And it's really great. Like, all these ideas, like, I mean, I don't know if I'm conveying how cool they sound, but they are really cool. One really neat aspect is, like, if the monster kills you, you become a zombie yourself. You don't die. And, and in that state, you are stronger and you're invincible, but you have, like, a timer, and you have to get back to camp in time to get cured of your sickness before you permanently become a monster out of control, you know, game over.
That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. The problem is, like, it's really unbalanced. Like, money just doesn't come in fast enough to, like, repair the walls and get better items and hire the mercenaries. Like, there's just so many money sinks, and just money drops just don't happen often enough. And the monsters get ridiculously strong quickly. The game explains nothing to you. Just drops you in and say, here, figure it out, asshole. First time I played, like, there's crates and stuff you can smash to find items in them. The first time I played, I smashed a barrel and exploded and died. That was what I did. Like, the first forgot, video game logic. These are barrels. They explode. Everything is flammable. I should not touch this. So that was the first 5 seconds of me playing, because the game explains nothing to you. And so you spend so much time trying to figure out the game, and then once you think you have it figured out, it doesn't pull any punches. It is really, really unbalanced. And I think it's going to frustrate a lot of people. But it has a lot of really great concepts. So I don't recommend it. See, if it were a little more balanced, spend a little more time in development, I could have easily recommended this game as, like, a great game. As it stands, like, I would say, like, be curious, because it's really cool, but also be cautious, because it's going to frustrate you. Like, there were plenty of times where I wanted to just smash my stylus through the fucking screen. So mad. But
how many points is it?
It's $5. I bought it on
okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's affordable. Uh-huh. And if you have $5 and you're willing to spend $5 to check out some interesting concepts, and you might get burned on the gameplay, might get burned on the gameplay, definitely check it out. You know.
Okay.
But it's getting some positive reviews other places. But me, like, I want to get... I stopped just short of giving it, like, a really glowing review. I say, you know, it's good, but it's, you know, it's just not balanced enough. It's just too frustrating. So, pretty neat little game.
And then is that new? I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it's fairly new. It's fairly new addition to DSiWare.
Okay.
And I've also been playing A Kappa's Trail on DSiWare. I'm playing on my 3DS. Mm-hmm. And this one was developed by Brownie Brown and published by Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So, great art style, really charming stuff. Really neat little gameplay. I mean, you're this Kappa that wants to, like, live on land. So you draw these little trails to collect coins and stuff. I don't know what it has to do with living on land, but... So you go on land and you draw these trails. And then at some point in the level, the demon hand comes up out of the water to drag you back. And it follows your trail.
Okay.
And what sucks is, like, in order to, like, scroll the screen, you have to, like, drag your stylus across the screen. And that's how you get a better viewpoint.
Huh.
I don't know why you just can't do that with the D-pad while you're trying to draw a trail. It makes the game too clumsy. And as you're trying to outrun this hand, trying to draw over these little narrow ridges and avoid enemies and things like this, stopping to drag the screen is just really irritating. So it's a really cool game, I think, really worth $5, but I think that dragging the screen thing is just... drags it down. It could be, like, a really awesome game. I think DSiWare is full of games like this where they have really good ideas, but just suffer somewhere in execution.
Right.
And so it only uses stylus controls. You can't use the D-pad.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And you hit any direction on the D-pad and the game pauses. Like, this is helpful.
Nice.
So if that had D-pad scrolling, it would be great.
Yeah.
I will wholeheartedly recommend it. But again, like The Lost Town, I would say look into it, because there's a lot to like about it, but there's also a lot that can frustrate you as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm big on ease of use, on accessibility. I know accessibility is kind of a dirty word with a lot of hardcore gamers, but, like, I don't want to think that I'm playing a game when I'm playing a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, I want to get lost in the controls and everything. I don't want to feel like I'm actually controlling something, if that makes sense.
And, I understand.
And games like this remind me that I'm controlling something and they frustrate me, and I don't like that. I don't think that should be a part of gaming. I've also been playing a lot of Mercenaries 3D on the 3DS. Love it. I think it's great. Sometimes you just want to kill things and you don't want cutscenes. And this is it. And a lot of people are like scared it's going to be like this really short game. But honestly, it's like a fighting game or like a shoot-em-up where, like, you don't just run through it and then you're done with it. Like, you keep playing, whether it's just for the joy of it or to open new things or to get a high score or to just go online and play with other people. My 3DS clock says I have 6.5 hours on it. I still technically haven't finished the game, and I haven't played online at all. So I've got six.
Yeah, I haven't tried out the online. Have you heard anything about it though?
I've heard it runs well, but that's
about it. Okay.
So I've gotten a lot of mileage out of this game already, and I really enjoy it. I'm on the second to last level. To unlock the very last level, you need to get like at least a B ranking in every level before it.
Mm.
And I keep getting a C ranking on the last one, the second to last one,
because
it's hard. Hard as hell, but...
And who are you using?
I'm using different characters, but I stick with Chris because he's got a shotgun and it's fucking devastating.
Yeah, I like Chris too.
But I like playing as girls. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
I think girls are pretty.
Right.
If I have to look at something, it might as well be a girl.
Right.
But they just... Like, I was playing as Claire for like a while, but like her pistol just doesn't help in later levels. And then she has that weird electric rocket launcher. I don't know what the hell that thing is. But I'm not... It ends up hurting myself. I end up hurting myself with it half the time, so... I really like the game. I think it's a lot of fun. I like its arcade nature. It's really appealing to me.
I really want to pick that up.
It's fun, man. You should. You and Seth, we should get some co-op matches going. I've been playing Earth Defense Force Insect Armageddon, which, again, it's along the same lines where, like, sometimes you want to play an action game and you want it to be action. Like, a lot of our current action games, like God of War, Gears of War, whatever, like, as fun as they could be, like, there's a lot of downtime. There's a lot of inaction in these action games, a lot of cutscenes, a lot of talking, and sometimes you just don't want to put up with that. And, like, that's where I think, like, a game like Earth Defense Force comes in. It's not appealing to everyone, obviously, as we talked about earlier with the reviews, but for me, like, when I just want to go in and murder things, that's the game for me. I like it.
I mean, and it's so cheesy. You gotta love it.
It's a little less cheesy. Like, this one's, like, the 2017 was a little more cheesy because it was Japanese. And, and for somebody, like, it's just cheesier, you know? They all dress like Power Rangers and, like, it's just, this one's a little less cheesy, but it's still cheesy. It's still, I like it. It's up my alley. And I'm trying to think, I think that might be it. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it. We'll go with that. So, that about wraps up this episode, unless you guys have anything you'd like to add.
No.
No?
Awesome episode, though.
It was a good episode. A lot of talking going.
Great game coming out. Quarter 3.
Absolutely. Totally psyched. Quarter 3 is going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to remind everyone, be sure to check out the site to win a copy of ATV Wild Ride for the DS, Renegade Kid's latest game. That's courtesy of Steph. That is Steph's extra copy of the game, so thank you, Steph.
Great game. We want to share that with you, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fun game.
It is a fun game.
I can't win this, right?
You cannot win this.
Damn it.
So hit up the site to figure out, I mean, to win it, you have to go to our article on Quarter 3 games and just post what you're looking forward to, and you'll be entered. Be sure to post with an email address that you want to be contacted with. Only we can see it. We won't use it for anything else. Honestly, I don't really want your email address, so... we'll use that to get in touch with you should you win. Don't forget about episode 50. We'll be broadcast live on justin.tv/TVLust. And Wednesday, the 13th, live stream gaming, 6 p.m. Eastern, with me and Omega Red Rage from the TV and Lust forums. It'll be good. Lots of good stuff coming up.
Nice.
I want to thank everyone for listening. And until next time, you guys take it easy.